Welcome back to Pearls and Swine. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Levi. So far, we've said a valley doesn't automatically mean you took a wrong turn. And we've talked about three kinds of valleys. God sent me here. I messed up. And I just don't know why I'm here.
Right. And today, you promised us the how. How do we actually respond and what do we walk away with?
Let's start with the God sent me here valley, because I think this one trips people up the most. The response here is almost always the same. Hang tough, stay put.
Even when it's miserable.
Yeah, remember this little guy by the name of Jonah?
Well, yeah, but his was God sent me here and I messed up.
God gave him an assignment and he hated. And instead of staying put and obeying, he ran the opposite direction, and it led him to even a worse valley, right?
Yeah.
Literally inside of a fish.
So running from a God sent me here valley doesn't actually get you out of it.
Oh, it just adds a detour.
A different kind of valley.
Yeah. now compare got, that now with Daniel. Two.
Okay.
All he had to do was avoid the lion's den was stop praying publicly for 30 days. Not forever. 30 measly days.
Such a small task. I mean, who cares about 30 days?
But he did, and he refused, and he knew that disobedience was a worse place to be than a den full of lions. So he kept praying, and he ended up exactly where obedience led him, and God was glorified through it.
So what if Daniel had reasoned his way out of it? Like, a loving God surely wouldn't want me to die over this. I'll just pray quietly for a month. Think of all the good I can keep doing as chief administrator.
That's exactly the trap, right? Mm-hmm. He could have justified it so easily, and none of us would have even blinked an eye, because that's like 99.9% of us would have responded. But he didn't take the shortcut. And that's the pattern for God sent me here, Valley.
So what about the I messed up valleys?
Completely different response. These call for real change in direction. It's a wrong turn. It got you there. You have to retrace your steps.
You've told me before about teaching Bible class in a county jail.
Yeah, I used to teach a relational Bible class in a county jail in Minneapolis. Guys would tell me their stories. Some were in for drug charges and would be out soon. Others were there a lot longer. They had made real mistakes and they were trying to figure out how to actually change. The valley of prison that they were in. Even once their hearts changed, I think what was interesting is it didn't immediately get them out of it. It was still going to last a long time.
Yeah, that's sobering. We hear a lot of stories like that in Celebrate Recovery, though, too, where people find themselves in prison and they have to finish their sentence. God has changed. Their hearts have changed. They're moving in the right direction, but they still got, 3 to 5.
Yeah. But here's the good news. Most I messed up valleys don't last a lifetime. They're almost always tied to two things, though. Taking personal responsibility and actually making changes. You can't just feel bad about it. I feel so much shame. I feel so bad about myself. Yeah, that's nice. Nice. And you should. You should feel guilt. But you still need to turn. That guilt should make you turn from it.
Do we have an example from the Bible?
Oh, there's so many. Judges chapter 10, Israel had turned to worshiping the false gods of nations around them, and they'd been under attack from the Ammonites. They're in oppression at this point, and for 18 years, they finally cry out to God and listen to what he says. The Lord replied, when the Egyptians, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Manonites oppress you, and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you're in trouble.
That's not the answer that I would have expected.
Not at all. God basically says, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of your cycles. But eventually, Israel actually gets rid of the false gods, not just saying, I'm sorry, if you're from Wisconsin.
Canada.
Or Canada. No, they said, I'm not just saying sorry. And that's when God moves to help us.
It's not enough just to want out.
Right. And here's something I've noticed. People who stay stuck in I messed up valleys are usually the ones still blaming someone else, God included, instead of owning it and turning around. And even once you've turned around, it can take a while to get out. Kind of like tripping in a race. Once you get back up, you have to run harder than everyone else just to catch back up.
Yeah, that might feel unfair.
It kind of is, but that's how it works, which is honestly a great argument for not falling in the first place. Now, here's something true of every single valley, no matter the type. The enemy is always going to offer you a shortcut out.
Really? What does that look like?
Oh, it's what Satan offered Jesus in the wilderness. Turn stones into bread, jump off the temple, bow down and get all these kingdoms at once. All shortcuts around the valley God had him in. All designed to keep him off the road to the cross. He does the same thing to us. He tells us a lie and it seems like an easy way out. Or it seems like the only way out of the mess. Or that walking away from purity is the only way to save a relationship. Or returning to evil for evil is the only way to survive. It always looks reasonable in the moment.
So how do you tell the difference between the shortcut and the real way through?
The enemy's shortcuts always involves compromise or disobedience. Always. God's way of escape is the pathway of faith and obedience. The shortcut usually feels better right now. God's way always shines brighter in the light of longevity.
All right, so we've covered how to respond. What about the third question, right? What can I learn?
This is where we land the plane. Let's go back to James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of us lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Notice James never actually settles the question of whether a trial came from God, from the enemy, or from just living broken world. He focuses on the one thing you can gain, no matter the source: perseverance, character, maturity, and he tells us to ask for wisdom to know how to respond and what to learn.
Do you have a personal example of that?
I mean, life is hard. We all walk through it. And I think one of them that is really difficult and still difficult after, I don't know, 17 years is our daughter passed away. It changed something in me. Suddenly, the guy who cut me off in traffic seemed a whole lot less important. After she passed away, it wasn't like I was just angry about like this guy. It gave me a different voice too. Not long after, one of our church families lost a 16-year-old son. And I think I was able just to sit with them in a way I couldn't have before, simply because I walked through something similar.
Did God cause it so you'd be equipped for that?
No, I don't think so. It was a product of a fallen world. She wasn't made for this world. But God did use it to grow my faith and give me a different voice in ministry that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
So what's the takeaway?
If you're in a valley right now, stop asking only how do I get out? Start asking, what can I learn while I'm here? Perseverance, character, empathy for someone else walking the same road, or maybe just a warning never to go down that path again. Ask God for wisdom and let perseverance finish its work in you.
A valley isn't proof that you took a wrong turn. Figure out which valley you're in, respond the right way for that valley, and ask what you can learn instead of just looking for the exit.
Thanks for listening to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. That is good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.